Book 15, Chapter 2. How Hyrcanus was set at liberty by the Parthians and returned to Herod, and what Alexandra did when she heard that Anaelus was made high priest. Now, after Herod was in possession of the kingdom, Hyrcanus, the high priest, who was then a captive among the Parthians, came to him and was set free from his captivity, in the manner following. Barzaphanus and Pacorus, the generals of the Parthians, took Hyrcanus, who was first made high priest and afterward king, and Herod's brother, Phasaelus, captives, and were then away in Parthus. Phasaelus indeed could not bear the reproach of being in bonds, and thinking that death with glory was better than any life whatsoever, he became his own executioner, as I have formerly related. But when Hyrcanus was brought into Parthia, the king Phraates treated him after a very gentle manner, as having already learned of what an illustrious family he was, on which account he set him free from his bonds and gave him a habitation at Babylon, where there were Jews in great numbers. These Jews honored Hyrcanus as their high priest and king, as did all the Jewish nation that dwelt as far as Euphrates, which respect was very much to his satisfaction. But when he was informed that Herod had received the kingdom, new hopes came upon him, as having been himself still the kind disposition towards him, and expecting that Herod would bear in mind what favor he had received from him. And when he was upon his trial, and when he was in danger that a capital sentence would be pronounced against him, he delivered him from that danger, from all punishment. Accordingly, he talked of that matter with the Jew that came often to him with great affection. But they endeavored to retain him among them, and desired that he would stay with them, putting him in mind of the kind offices and honors they did him, that those honors they paid him were not at all inferior to what they could pay to either their high priests or their kings. What was a greater motive to determine him, they said, was this: that he could not have those dignities in Judea because of that maim in his body, which have been inflicted on him by Antigonus, and that kings do not use to requite men for those kindnesses which they receive when they were private persons, the height of their fortune making usually no small changes in them. Now, although they suggested these arguments to him for his own advantage, yet did Hyrcanus still desire to depart. Herod also wrote to him and persuaded him to desire Phraates and the Jews that were there, that they should not grudge him the royal authority, which he should have jointly with himself, for that now was the proper time for himself to make him amends for the favors he received from him, as having been brought up by him, and saved by him also, as well as for Hyrcanus to receive it. As he wrote thus to Hyrcanus, so did he send all Saramallas, his ambassador, to Phraates, and many presents with him, and desired him in the most obliging way that he would be no hindrance to his gratitude towards his benefactor. But this zeal of Herod's did not flow from that principle, but because he had been made governor of that country without having any just claim to it. He was afraid that upon reasons good enough, but changing his condition, and so made what haste he could to get Hyrcanus into his power, or indeed to put him quite out of the way, which last thing he compassed afterward. Accordingly, when Hyrcanus came full of assurance by the permission of the king of Parthia, and at the expense of the Jews, who supplied him with money, Herod received him with all possible respect, and gave him the upper place at public meetings, and set him above all the rest at feasts, and thereby deceived him. He called him his father, and endeavored by all the ways possible that he might have no suspicion of any treacherous design against him. He also did other things in order to secure his government, which yet occasioned a sedition in his own family, for being cautious how he made any illustrious person the high priest of God, he sent for an obscure priest out of Babylon, whose name was Anaelus, and bestowed the high priesthood upon him. However, Alexandra, the daughter of Hyrcanus, and wife of Alexander, the son of Aristobulus, the king, who had also brought Alexander 2 children, could not bear this indignity. Now this son was one of the greatest comeliness, and was also called Aristobulus, and the daughter Mariamne was married to Herod, and eminent for her beauty also. This Alexander was much disturbed, and took this indignity offered to her son exceedingly ill, that while he was alive, anyone else should be sent for to have the dignity of the high priesthood conferred upon him. Accordingly, she wrote to Cleopatra, a musician assisting her in taking care to have her letters carried, to desire her intercession with Antony, in order to gain the high priesthood for her son. But as Antony was slow in granting this request, his friend Dalius came into Judea upon some affairs. When he saw Aristobulus, he stood in admiration at the tallness and handsomeness of the child, and no less at Mariamne, the king's wife, who was open his commendations of Alexandra as the mother of most beautiful children. And when she came to discourse with him, he persuaded her to get pictures drawn of them both and send them to Antony, for that when he saw them, he would deny her nothing that she should ask. Accordingly, Alexander was elevated with these words of his and sent the pictures to Antony. Dalius also talked extravagantly, and said that these children seemed not derived from men, but from some god or other. His design in so doing was to entice Antony into lewd pleasures with them, who was ashamed to send for the damsel as being the wife of Herod, and avoided it because of the reproaches he should have in Cleopatra on that account. But he sent, in the most decent manner he could, for the young man. But added this withal, unless he thought it hard upon him so to do. When this letter was brought to Herod, he did not think it safe for him to send one so handsome as Aristobulus, in the prime of his life, for he was 16 years of age, and of so noble a family, and particularly not to Antony, the principal man among the Romans, and one that would abuse him in his armors, and besides, one that openly indulged himself in such pleasures as his power allowed him without control. He therefore wrote back to him that if this boy should go out of the country, all would be in a state of war and uproar, because the Jews were in hopes of a change in the government to have another king over them. When Herod had thus excused himself to Antony, he resolved that he would not entirely permit the child or Alexandra to be treated dishonorably. But his wife, Mariamne, lay vehemently at him to restore the high priesthood to her brother, and he judged it was for his advantage so to do, because if he once had that dignity, he could not go out of the country. So he called his friends together and told them that Alexander privately conspired against his royal authority, endeavored by the means of Cleopatra, so to bring it about, that he might be deprived of government, and that by Antony's means this youth might have the management of public affairs in his stead, and that this procedure of hers was unjust, since she would at the same time deprive her daughter of the dignity she now had, and would bring disturbances upon the kingdom, for which he had taken a great deal of pains, and had gotten it with extraordinary hazards, that yet, while he well remembered her wicked practices, would not leave off doing what was right himself, but would even now give the youth the high priesthood, and that he formally set up Aeneas, because Aristobulus was then so very young a child. Now when he had said this, not at random, but as he thought with the best discretion he had, in order to deceive the women, and those friends whom he had taken to consult withal, Alexandra, out of the great joy she had at this unexpected promise, and out of the fear from the suspicion she lay under, fell a-weeping, and made the following apology for herself, and said that as to the high priesthood, she was very much concerned for the disgrace her son was under, and so did her utmost endeavors to procure it for him, but that as to the kingdom she had made no attempts, and that if it were offered her for her son, she would not accept it, that now she would be satisfied with her son's dignity, while he himself held the civil government. And she had thereby the security that arose from his peculiar ability in governing to all the remainder of her family, that she was now overcome by his benefits, and thankfully accepted of this honor showed by him to her son, and that she would hereafter be entirely obedient, and she desired him to excuse her, if the nobility of her family and that freedom of acting which she thought that allowed her had made her act too precipitously, and prudently in this matter. So when they had spoken thus to one another, they came to an agreement, and all suspicions, so far as appeared, were vanished away.